So James Victoria, how is your now? Welcome back to the final episode of the Boston Well, the Boston Howe interviews.
Oh, I thought you were ending the podcast.
No, for the Reflex Blue Show. I think we're ending the season, though. I think this is show 100.
Well, there
I think
go.
This is our 100th episode, Ben.
Congratulations, you guys.
We're very excited that we're on the 100th episode. Do we get badges? Or is there
no, we just get straight vodkas when we're drinking.
I'll give you a button. What do you think?
Perfect.
So, I am your host, Donovan Beery, and I have with me co-host Ben Luters. Ben.
Hello, everybody.
And we're going to have to say goodbye to this gorgeous room that the Howe people are so nice
that's
to set
amazing.
Us up with. It's very large. We're just sitting in the corner of it, though, because that's where the plug-ins are. So yeah. So out in the middle, which the table was originally set up there in the middle of this gigantic room.
We should have brought sleeping bags so that we didn't have to do the whole hotel thing.
We were told we're not allowed to do that.
Okay.
We were told that actually the last year. They put us in a room with a bathroom in it last year. And they're like, you know, you can use it, but you can't sleep here. It's like, all right, whatever.
Good thing they called that out.
Yeah, we do need to be reminded. We have with us Hatch SF. Hatch, how are you guys doing?
We're doing well.
And Hatch is Katie and Joel, right? Katie Jane and Joel Templin.
Yep.
Correct.
And thanks for being on our 100th podcast.
Very exciting.
Thank you for having us.
No problem. So SF, that stands for?
San Francisco.
All right, awesome.
So you guys are located in New York?
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, we wanted to throw people
I
off.
Like the we're irony there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the way we roll.
Yeah, it leaves room for, you know, Hatch, Milan, Hatch, yeah, whatever.
What is the name Hatch? Where's the idea behind that? Obviously, we believe we understand what the
SF is. We named our firm Hatch for a reason. We wanted to, we're just five years into it. And 5 years ago, we decided to start the firm together with the idea of not only doing great client work, but also hatching our own brands. So we have sort of an 80-20 time split in the office where our designers spend 20% of the time just coming up with ideas and new designs for new products.
Oh, like the Google method, kind of.
Kind of. It didn't actually work out.
I think we inspired Google.
No. Yeah, they're a little bit bigger than Google, Donovan. I don't know if a lot of people have heard of Google.
Exactly. So.
How large is the office there at Hatch? Yeah.
There are 14 of us.
Yeah.
And what are your positions actually there?
So Katie and I are the two founders, and we're also the two creative directors. And we've purposely kept the agency at about that size because everything that goes through the firm, we oversee. So
Goes through us.
So from that initial kickoff, that brief, to the creative process, to when things are going to be presented to the client, I mean, it all kind of goes through. So it really can't get too big for us.
It's a manageable size.
I cannot believe you guys said you've been around 5 years. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
And there's 14 of you. I was looking at your guys' site right before you came in, like, wait a second. This is stuff that I've seen. You know, Starbucks, Coca-Cola. You guys have huge clients.
Yeah.
I'm just totally blown away.
We pack a lot in.
Apparently.
We're really fortunate we get to do a lot.
We have an extremely talented group of people that work with us, so I think that's why we can pack so much in. But
we'll start with you, Joel. Where were you before Hatch? What is your background?
How far back do you want to go?
Oh, yikes. I don't know. What do you feel like? What's the brief summary?
Yeah. So,
school did you go to?
Exactly. Robert's grade school.
What hospital were you born in?
Exactly. St. Agnes, Fond du Lac.
Where were you conceived?
So, I started my career out in the Midwest, in Minneapolis. I went to school in Wisconsin. Ironically, I went to school for printing. I went to school for graphic arts, so the production end. I got signed up for graphic design, which is the creative end. Your first year into the program, you take printing courses, so I thought I was on track. Second year, I had like life drawing and ceramics, and I'm like, what the hell does that have to do with printing? So my career was kind of a happy accident. But anyway, I started out in Minneapolis, worked for a couple small design firms, ended up getting recruited by a big agency in San Francisco called Footcombe & Belding. So I worked for FCB for a few years, and then I started my own agency back in 1998. It was called Temple & Brink Design. Had that for about 8 years. And then that went away a little over 5 years ago, and Katie and I started Hatch Design. And it was always a dream of mine to sort of hatch my own brands, and Katie has the same philosophy. So that's why it was sort of this shift from the firm being named after some of the people to this sort of bigger concept, because we love this idea of being this incubator of ideas and hatching things. So
I like that.
And Katie?
I I went to school in San Francisco at the California College of Arts and Crafts. I'm not going back. I didn't tell you what hospital I was born in.
Oh, I do not even want to know.
But, yeah.
As long as you were born.
I was raised in the Pacific Northwest, near Seattle, and then went to school in San Francisco and never left. I love the city, and ended up working with Joel at the old firm Temple & Brink Design, which is how we know each other, and a lot of the designers that are at our agency, and then we started the company together.
Fabulous.
So fast forward to today. Yeah, we can't believe it's been 5 years already. We just celebrated our 5-year anniversary as Hatch in April of this year.
Congratulations. That's quite a milestone.
We have 5 specialty cocktails made out of 5 drinks that we branded and packaged.
Really?
We had 5-layer cake, of course.
What was the best of the cocktails?
The best of the cocktails, we just came out with this Iwala smoothies for kids, our little kids' juice boxes. That are really, really tasty, and we mixed those with rum, and that was a hit.
Really?
Was there any of them that you will not repeat?
No, they were all pretty tasty.
They were all pretty good.
They were all pretty good. From what I remember.
Okay.
No, they were great. So.
Why are we just drinking water right now? I know we're pretending it's vodka, but...
Yeah. It's been a long conference for you guys, all right?
It has.
It's been months, obviously. I mean, this is months after the conference.
Yeah, that's right.
We're finally getting close to leaving after 3 months in Boston. It's been grueling.
Exactly.
All right, well, we're going to be right back with Joel and Katie and talk a little bit about what they were presenting here at HOW. Welcome back. We've got you just minutes after your speech, so you can't plead the, I forgot what I was talking about.
They're still sweaty.
I forgot. What was it that you spoke about today? And I also heard that people weren't leaving your session, so I heard it was pretty good.
It's a good sign if people don't walk away from your session.
That is correct.
I also heard the doors were locked, but...
heavily guarded.
It doesn't matter how they were tasing people that tried to leave.
Minor detail. It's not really...
It's not how it happens. It's that they didn't leave.
They didn't leave. Exactly. There was nowhere to go.
So our talk was all around sort of why we named ourselves Hatch. In addition to the client, we feel very, very fortunate to have sort of the client base that we have. We've got great projects to work on. We love the variety. We'll always do work for clients. But the reason we named it Hatch is we just want to start hatching our own brands, our own products, things that allow us to have that much more creative control.
Now, we've talked to a bunch of the design industry places that partner with their people and take an equity share, but you're not talking about taking an equity share. You're talking about just outwardly owning
the product.
Just
outright start another company.
What was the first company that you started? Was it
Starbucks?
Do you brand it separately?
Yeah, we
yes.
did.
So yes.
Is it on the books? Is it a separate company or is
completely
it all?
Our official first hatchling is a corporation. And it's called Jack Cellars, and it's a wine brand. So it's a totally separate functioning company. There's 5 people that work for Jack Cellars.
Its own board, its own group of investors.
Own office building?
No, it shares office with us.
Okay.
So Jack Cellars is it's spelled J-A-Q-K.
I remember it was spelled a little different
for our listeners. Yeah, so it's a wine brand, and it's spelled J-A-Q-K to stand for Jack Ace Queen King. Because we wanted to develop a brand that had maybe more of a playful concept to it. And so we make 8 wines, and they all relate to this idea of sort of games or cards or dice.
So there's names like High Roller, which is our high-end cab. It's a custom poker chip inset into a custom Italian glass bottle. There's 22 Black, which is another cab, and it's 22 because in Casablanca, it's the number on the roulette wheel that Bogart had the young couple put their money. And then we've got Charm, Sauvignon Blanc. We've got Black Clover, Merlot, Soldiers of Fortune, Syrah. So they all harken back to either dice or cards or roulette or whatever. And we like the idea that there's sort of another layer to it so you can appreciate it for the wine. The third founder of the company is the winemaker. He's been in Napa for 26 years. So Craig does what he does best, which is what goes in the bottle. And we do what we do best, which is the outside of the bottle and all the other fixings, the shippers, the brand, the design.
The deck of playing cards that absolutely you have to have.
When you guys started this up then, did you actually have to interview and find somebody to run this company for you to figure out like the distributions and such?
Yeah, we did. We actually, if you go back to when we started the company, it was meant to be maybe a couple hundred case brand. where we would find some pre-made wine and package it with this concept that we had. And maybe it'll be a couple hundred cases that we can, you know, share with our friends and give away to clients.
But like designers, there's a little scope creep I'm seeing, right?
Well, we didn't know that the winemaker was going to be part of this process. We were going to buy some bulk juice and just do sort of a 200 case thing. And if it didn't work, we give the wine to our friends. We told the winemaker the story, the concept, and said, "Do you think we're crazy?" And he said, "Not only are you not crazy, I'll be your winemaker and business partner." So now we've got this heavy hitter out of Napa. We're like, well, that changes the whole scope of things. So then we had to go raise money because it's a very expensive venture to get into. So we designed the brand, and we had Craig's pedigree as the winemaker, and we pitched it. We had some friends come in and help us with sort of the business plan and helping us with sort of a Series A round of funding, and then we went out and raised the money, and we launched with over 4,000 cases instead of 200.
And for our listeners, please go to hatchsf.com and check out the work. The packaging on that looks just phenomenal. You guys,
Better yet, go to jacksellers.com, which is J-A-Q-K.
Buy your own bottle.
Sellers, C-L-L-A-R-S.com, and you can order online. We can ship, I think, to every state except, I think there's like 11 states you can't ship directly
except
to.
Except Nebraska, probably.
Nebraska's okay.
Nebraska's cool.
What's really cool, I'm glad you like the packaging. The best honor, I think, to date has been the SF MoMA included all 8 of its bottles in a recent wine show and then kept them for the permanent collection.
Want to get rid of that.
Or did they like it so much that they drank it and then they're like, let's just tell them we like the bottles and they can keep them.
That's the real story. But yeah, the brand is actually... we launched at the end of 08, and then we're in 41 states and 10 countries. Wow. So we're distributed in Nebraska. So you could go to a fine restaurant, look on the wine list, and you may see Jack Sellers there. So we just opened up Massachusetts this last week.
2 weeks ago.
So we've had dinner 2 nights in a row now at different restaurants here in Boston, and we've been able to order our own wine off the wine list, which is kind of
so
cool.
Great.
I get goosebumps.
It's cool. Yeah, we're at a little over 10,000 cases now, and the brand is growing. Yeah.
So that was the first brand.
First hatchling.
How many hatchlings approximately?
Well, so here's the thing, and you said that other designers will do design for equity.
Equity, right.
And we have found that with managing and running a busy design firm and a wine company that future hatchlings, we take less of a management role in. So we've developed another line of wine for China, just for the export market, but we're not managing it. We're just creating the brand.
It's a separate company as well. It's called 31 Productions, and we started it with the woman that is actually the distributor of our Jack Sellers brand in China. So she's funding it. She's put together her own team.
She loved Jack Sellers so much that she wanted to do something her own too.
Right.
So we named it The Dream is the name of the wine. 31 Productions is the holding company. But The Dream is it's all about the sort of lure of the old Hollywood glamour on a wine label for China.
Yeah, for China. And the reason we set up the holding company, 31 Productions, is if The Dream works, we've got other concepts that we've already designed that we'll launch in China. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Sort of kind of along the lines of Jack, where they're sort of themed things, but very Americana sort of things.
Which wine do you like better?
Well, the Jack Sellers is expensive.
It's a premium quality wine.
The other one is a $10 bottle.
By the time it gets to China.
It's a different thing. But we are about to hatch our next thing. And it's so new, we don't even have a name for it yet, but we've secured the space, and we're going to be opening a high-end retail store, an experience, a destination in San Francisco.
In San Francisco.
Really?
And it'll be opening mid-September. And we love stuff. I mean, old things. As we travel, we like shopping, whatever. It's an excuse to start curating things from around the world. But the bigger story, or what we hope to do, is to start, it'll be 95% stuff we find or modern things that we purchase. And curate 5% will be sort of hatch goods, things that we design. That'll have sort of a subset name to it.
So whether it's art prints or screen printed table linens
or pillows or whatever
it is that our design team can have total creative control and just make stuff that we want to make.
This is so cool.
We have secured a retail space to sell it in.
We're in this building. The building we secured, it's from 1858. It's historic marker 27 in San Francisco.
Oh, wow.
The floors, it used to be an old antique store a long time ago, so the floors are from France from the 1700s. So you've got 1800-year-old brick, 1700-year-old floors. I mean, it's kind of a very unique thing. But the idea is to move that marker. So if it's a 95% other people's stuff, 5% ours, how cool if over the years it's 10, 15, 25, 30, 35% things that we're designing. So it's our own dinnerware. It's our own glassware.
You may have to have more than 14 employees by then.
No, these guys are really good. We can knock stuff out. So.
They sound fabulous. I can't even imagine.
It'll take time. You know, it'll be an evolution. So
We'll see how it goes.
That's fantastic.
So stay tuned for that.
Start small and just jump in.
I don't think finding your own wine company and hiring a staff to run a different company is really called starting small.
That was a big venture.
Yeah. We're starting smaller with other ventures, but yeah.
What was it that made you want to go into that one first? Was that always kind of like the first dream, kind of dealing with a winery, or was it something that you had experience in?
We've developed brands for wine companies, so like the Beringers and the Mondavis, like the big players of the world, and we've also done work for smaller players. We really only picked it because we saw an opening. We thought there weren't very many brands that would resonate with a lot of people. There's a lot of brands out there that have to do.
They're named after the vineyard or the winemaker or the tree on the vineyard
or the dog on the property.
The dog on the vineyard, whatever it is, and it all sort of starts to blend together in the sea of sameness. So why not create a brand that has more of a concept, more of a story to it?
And we did some research and we found out that World Series of Poker was one of the top highest watched sports on TV.
Chip sets are one of the highest selling gift items at the holidays every year because more people are playing poker at home. So it's just sort of a vernacular that a lot of people can relate to. It's a popular sport, and you don't even have to be a poker player to appreciate the wine if you like cards and crazy eights.
Yeah, let's say you play like a new game of Go Fish, you know. But everyone knows clubs, diamonds,
now we're
spades,
talking
whatever.
My language.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, go fish. So, we can do this.
And then it's got a really broad design vernacular too. So there's a lot of visual just items that you can play with.
And it's playful in nature. Our tagline is play a little, and they're premium wines. They're not cheap wines. They're expensive, but they're playful. I mean, it does not have to be taken that seriously. I mean, when you're drinking beers, you're not thinking about it that much. I mean, you know, you open a bottle, enjoy it, have fun. That's what it's supposed to be about. So why can't it be really good wine in a really playful
package?
Sophisticated package. So that's our... It's our story, and we're sticking to it.
No, I like it, and I could see where this was great talk, because as designers, we always think like, what if we had a little more control over stuff and a little more control, and that is
we're all control freaks when it comes down,
right? And that is having a lot of control, but
we just want to create beautiful things.
It's putting your money where your mouth is too. I mean, we know the power of design. If you approach something in a smart way and it's very distinctive, it sort of zigs while others are zagging, and it also has to pay it off. Whatever it is, it has to be in the bottle, has to be in the box. I mean, it can't just be great design. So if it's a good product and it's packed and it's designed really well, it should work.
Did you guys have a lot of business school experience? Because this is a lot. This sounds like, I mean, there's obviously a lot of work going involved in starting up different businesses. Was this something that you guys either have somebody that you really trust that is really good at business, or was it something that you've just trial and error?
Yeah, we've learned a lot. The learning curve in terms of the learning a new industry has been super steep, and in terms of setting up a company, I mean, we didn't know what fundraising was. We didn't know that you had a Series A group of investors, and now we have a Series B group of investors, and all that. We didn't learn that in business school, but we did bring on people and consultants that we trust and
who are experts in
what they do to help us.
We're smart enough to surround ourselves with people that know what they know really well, so they can kind of plug in and help us. But a lot of the business stuff is sort of common sense too. I mean, it seems like it's common sense.
It should be common sense.
And we follow our gut.
I did this one. I don't want to say, but I went to that Harvard executive sort of thing for a week one time, and I mean, you definitely can learn a lot, but a lot of the things they talked about kind of just seemed like, it's like, oh yeah, that's just sort of common sense. Like, if you...
But there's not a lot of graphic designers that do what you guys do. Do you guys know any other designers that have done this?
I think there are other firms that are doing this. I mean, I think there's an agency in London called Mother.
Bill Grant, we talked to him a few years ago. He opened up a store. I think it was because there was a space like right below his office.
Yeah.
So they opened up a store. So it happens every now and then, but it's not the...
Oh, and we give away buttons and stickers and stuff.
Yeah, but we're not really selling them, so our business plan is flawed.
We could always start selling them.
Our business plan is flawed on that.
Can you give us like $3 for that, actually? Take back the packets we give our...
We'll be right back. Now you guys actually also do client work. It's actually that Hatch isn't just wine and an empty retail space that will be vacant until around September.
That is our bread and butter and our main focus. We love our clients.
What is the out of everything you've worked on for both of you, what is the personal like favorite project you've ever worked on?
Who's your favorite client?
Let's pit clients against each other.
Because a lot of it's like just maybe it was like you're young in your career and it was like a big opportunity, or you did something that was, you know, personally affected you.
Tell us a story. Mm-hmm.
The thing that I'm most proud of these days
that sounds
is
great.
our relationship with the Coca-Cola Company.
I've heard of them.
Have you heard of them?
They make those like drinks.
Things like that. So they've actually they work with two design firms in the U.S. Who brand their still and sparkling beverages. So the world of Coke is divided into sparkling or still. And so we have been working with them one brand at a time to kind of overhaul vitamin water. All their still beverages, juices, teas, and waters. So Vitamin Water, Edwalla, or Minute Maid.
Smart Water.
We're working in Powerade right now. So they've entrusted us with these really big sort of powerhouse brands.
So you guys design like the packaging that we see on the shelf?
We start with the package, but we don't only do the packaging. So we'll start with Vitamin Water package redesign, for example, but then how does that apply to everything else? The coolers and the trucks and
basically the whole visual identity system. So it's how it plays out all the way up through to even advertising. And
there's a big, it's actually fun being here in Boston right now. There's a big media buy for Vitamin Water for an at-home campaign.
So
that
that's our
right
stuff
now.
All over the city.
And then at the same time, there's an Edwalla campaign that's in all the bus shelters that we're walking by. So it's really fun to see them both. So I think that's excellent. And then we've actually got another client, Benefit Cosmetics, which for me personally is really fun to work on women's cosmetics. And
do they give you
it's
like
a really
free
playful
samples?
Grab. Every meeting, it's going.
Which doesn't benefit me so much. My wife likes it, but
Joel got his eyebrows waxed.
Yeah, that was
one
painful.
Point. We rebranded their brow bars.
They look great.
Thank you. But Benefit's great because Benefit has they've got a gazillion different products, and every product has its own sort of concept or story. And they've been working with us to help sort of do launch campaigns for new products. So it's really eclectic. So every time it's sort of a whole different thing. Which keeps us on our toes.
What was your favorite project that you've done or the thing that you're...
See, that's tough. I've been doing this for a long time. I started my career back in like 1991. One of the first things I did was probably the most exciting. I remember I did they're not even in business anymore. It was like Musicland. I did the holiday campaign for Musicland.
Well, all music companies are out of business.
Yeah.
But back then they were huge.
What's music?
Yeah, but that was the first time I actually did something where... You could walk into a mall or wherever Musicland's were, and you could see my stuff. My mom cried. She walked into a store.
It's always
she got
the
all
mom,
teary.
Right?
Yeah, my son did that.
Whenever Donovan gets in a book, he buys a book for his mom.
that's cute. I don't know. They're all. I don't know if there's a favorite. There, you remember sort of those earlier on ones, but
yeah, there is that. There is more of an excitement when you're younger because you've never... It's all new.
Right.
But I assume you guys get that excitement now with the...
We
it's all new
do.
Starting up new businesses, though, too.
Well, and we even get it with the... I guess there's still that excitement with the clients. I mean, we get fired up.
You never know.
We create that next thing and it goes out the door.
But then we're
moving on to the next thing. So then we're fired up with the next thing. So
we don't do a lot of new business outreach. So kind of, I mean, it's good and bad, but you never know who's going to call next. If it's all word of mouth or referral. And so you never know. It could be a tech company one day, or a cosmetic company the next, or a little small chocolate startup one day, or Coca-Cola the next. So it keeps us on our toes because it's just all over the board, and that's really fun.
Does it ever, like, just sink in, like, wow, we're doing work for, like, big things? Or is it just like, you know, this is work now, this is normal, we've been doing this a while, you just kind of, you know, move on, go to the next thing? Or does it ever just like, wow, you just stop and think about it?
We appreciate it. We realize we're extremely lucky and fortunate to have these Fortune 500 sort of clients.
Trust us.
That trust us. And so, you never forget that.
And also, we talked about, you know, you guys have 14 people. Do you have any plans to ever get bigger? I know some people we've talked to on the show, you know, they purposefully keep their firms to a certain size. There's a huge difference when firms get to a certain size. You know, you're just doing management. It's hard to be involved in all the creative process. You're taking on jobs just to pay for people's, you know, insurance or whatnot.
Right.
And so 14 sounds like an awesome size to me, but you guys are doing huge, huge campaigns and stuff. Mm-hmm. You certainly could be having, I would imagine, could hire more if you wanted. Mm-hmm. So do you guys have like a philosophy behind the number of people you have?
When we started, we thought 10 was a really good number. So 14 seems like a lot to us, but we don't plan to grow. We like doing this. We like the work. We like being involved with the creative, and we like being involved with each project that goes through the office. And so I think you never say never, but the goal is not to become a big machine that we have
Got
to feed.
I mean, maybe we could hire maybe a couple more could come on. It might be okay. I would almost rather, I think we would both rather turn projects down than
get bigger,
scale up, and then, you know, if the stuff goes away. You know, as owners, you don't ever want to have to lay people off. I mean, that's like the worst thing in the world. I had to do that once a long time ago, and it was the worst. So you don't ever want to get yourself into that position. Mm-hmm. So we want to be smart about, if people are working for us, we know we can keep them. And
sure.
So stay loyal.
Well, the last thing before we sign off is, we've been having the previous guest ask the next guest questions. So you guys don't get to ask anyone else any more questions. We're sorry about
that. You're the last.
This is not fair.
This is good. No, I'm
maybe
good.
They should ask
no
us
pressure.
Questions.
No, we have to answer a question.
Okay, you can ask Ben a question. So we have questions from our last guest.
Oh, I'm sorry. I see. We have a question. Okay.
Yeah. Diana Valentine wants to know, this is for both of you,
okay,
answer separately. What is the weirdest place you've ever worked from?
That you've ever worked from? So your environment, doing work from a weird environment.
Or have you been in a cube, like, forever?
Never been in a cube.
Do you mean like going back, like when I worked at a miniature golf place as a kid?
Hey, these are open-ended. There's no rules to these questions.
So maybe a shack is part of a miniature golf course where, you know, I had announced the hole-in-one contest or whatever.
I think that's great.
That's good.
Yeah.
How long did you do that for?
A couple summers as a kid, you know,
that's
growing up
good.
In Wisconsin.
I like it.
Were you next to a big windmill? Was the shack inside
the
windmill?
No, the shack was separate from the windmill, but we had a windmill. I'd
he
have to
was
go
in
out.
The windmill.
I'd have to go fill the wheelbarrow and go fill up the water holes, you know. And the problem was that the shack was stacked with like candy bars and chips and soda, and so anything I made, I ate basically while I was
working.
Chubby
little kid.
I wasn't too chubby.
Just kidding.
Well, no, he was moving around wheelbarrows with
around,
water.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah,
he
was working it off, right?
You need
those Kit Kats.
So maybe that's the weirdest place. Putt-Putt. It's called, Putt-Putt Golf in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. It's no longer there, but...
Katie?
That's a really... No, I wish I would have gone first because I don't have an interesting shack that I've ever worked from.
Well,
there's time. You know, give it 5 years, you'll be working from a shack in a miniature golf course.
Maybe I should work towards that. Yeah. No, I am... No,
odd jobs in Seattle or nothing?
No, I was a picture framer. That was my job for a long time.
Well, let me give you a little perspective. I was in Diana's talk where she was talking about giving creative ideas to help you get the juices flowing. And I think this question is coming out of this idea that she has, where if you're doing creative work, you need to change your perspective sometimes. And sometimes she'll suggest creatives to just go do work in like a really just a weird environment, a treehouse or on the street or something like that.
Then that's an easy answer is traveling. I love traveling, and the best place to come up with new inspiration and ideas is on the road.
Hmm. Any particular place? Mm-hmm. We're just trying to know.
Omaha, Nebraska.
That's always the right answer.
She has come up with some of the best ideas.
Right. In a barn
in Omaha.
Yeah. Maybe you should consider that.
Okay. All right.
Where are you guys from again?
In the Midwest.
Yeah.
All right. And Jim Krause asks, paper or plastic?
Paper.
Oh,
it's normal what type of bag you get with your groceries.
Actually, it's easy answer too. Paper. They banned plastic bags in San Francisco.
Yeah,
we don't even have the choice.
That is an easy answer.
And if we say paper, we get billed for it because you're supposed to have your own.
So is the real answer bringing in your own bag?
Absolutely.
Technically, yeah.
Plus, with all the paper reps down there, paper is always the right answer.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, your own hatch designed canvas shopping bag.
There you go, which you can buy at
a currently unnamed store.
At that store.
That is so exciting, you guys.
Yeah, it'll be cool. So,
what's the address of the store?
It's the address
701 Sansom.
Yeah, 701 Sansom. It's at the corner of Sansom and Jackson.
Yeah, San right Francisco's downtown. All corners, right?
Sansom and Jackson. We are that building. It's
so for our San Francisco listeners, you can start camping out in front of the store now.
Yeah. Start now.
Start right now. And
send us your name suggestions. And we'll see you in September. Yeah.
All right. Well, it's been a true pleasure. Katie, Joel, thank you.
Thank you.
Listeners, thanks for listening. 36point.com. And we'll see you next season for more of the Reflex Blue Show.
Thanks.
Nate Voss.
Donovan.
We finally made this thing happen. I don't know. I mean, new software, new hardware, always is fun for us, isn't it?
I'm pretty sure we're not on the new software, if I'm understanding the events of the last half hour correctly.
No, we just went back to the old stuff, whatever. Hopefully
sweet.
Work, you know,
so. Go OS upgrades.
So somehow, like 2 months ago, in a show that you're probably listening to right now, we hit podcast, the Reflex Blue Show number 100.
This is like our second or third hit of 100 shows.
Something like that. I mean, we had to be a design cast. It was weird because, you know, we made a big deal out of 50, and then when you do 50 again, you're just kind of like,
Anyway, 100 Reflex Blue Shows.
Yay!
Holy shit, that's probably a thing.
I guess. And not even counting our specials, we've got like, I don't know, 36 of those or something.
See, because you were always, and this might be where I'm getting at, is that you always like to count specials as not episodes.
Well,
and I always like to count them as episodes.
You were the one who started counting them as not episodes.
I don't know about history, man.
Yeah, well, either way. So either we're at show 100 or we're at show like 186.
Okay.
Or 96.
Yeah. 100. Well, that's fucking awesome because then we can do the 200th show.
In like four shows.
In like four more shows. That's great. Man, so, hey, graphic design, right?
Yeah.
Still a threat.
Still something like that. So, Nate, what have you been up to this year?
Let's see. Okay, so 2012, right? I have been working. Obviously still down here in Kansas City, still down here at VML. We're just kind of killing it down here. I have been making websites and making websites for tablets and for desktops and making them respond to different things, utilizing crazy HTML5 shit. And I don't know. So my technical prowess, or let me say my understanding of other people's technical prowess, has gone like way up when it comes to making the websites and interactive experiences and whatnot. But yeah, I've just been, I show up to work. It's a job. I make things. Then I go home. That's pretty cool.
Well, that's kind of, I mean, jobs are cool, I guess. That's what people tell me.
Well, I mean, it's kind of different because I felt like certainly when I left Omaha, it's been more than a year now. That entire scene was moving very rapidly towards sole proprietorships, people working for themselves, people just, starting their own thing. And I would say just about everybody was having at least some degree of success doing that. that seemed to be where like where everything was moving. And so then like for me to come down here and get a job working for the man, like, seemed very counter to me at the time.
Well, I think that's because you weren't hanging around the people here in Omaha that actually work for the man, because there's a lot of them. There's more people around here that work for the man than who don't.
Well, that's probably true. I mean, I'm just thinking about, like, you know, like the people I knew and, you know, let me just go ahead and say the people that I felt like were doing the exciting work. And I'm not going to – I mean, not to downplay, you know, any of the other work that gets done in that market. But, I thought the people that were really like kind of like pushing the design industry forward were the people who were doing it for themselves. But I think it's easier to do that when you're working for yourself than it is when you're working for, like a mid-size design shop or advertising agency, because there's just more layers to go through to make anything happen.
No, that makes sense. And more of the work that you're doing is for more corporate clients, just because of just they would go to a larger place. And the places that have the exciting work and that want to be completely groundbreaking, they'll take a chance with the smaller shop.
Well, and those are usually like startups, right? So that, yeah, their budget allows for, you know, getting the most out of their money with a smaller place or, you know, an individual or a small group of individuals. But so anyway, so that was my roundabout way of saying, nope, having a job is pretty cool.
I'll take your word on that.
Yeah, you have – I don't know. You're legit enough, Donovan, that you are kind of – I don't know. Wait, have we previously established you are the man
now? There's only like two of us in the office. That you can't be the man with
– I know, but he's always there now.
Yeah, but –
you have a legitimate employee.
Yeah, but even then, you're not really.
As opposed to those the illegitimate employees that you previously had.
Yeah, we don't even discuss their names around here anymore.
No, I don't. There were some people. I don't know. So, I just launched two websites in the past month. One of them that I worked on for, I want to say, about a month and a half, and another one of them that was about an eight or nine month effort. And those just launched, though they are still, they are fresh launches and we are still making tweaks, you know, behind the scenes to, get the bugs out. I'll tell you, QA, quality assurance testing, man, like you can find almost everything, but there's nothing like getting a million people going to your website. Or that's exaggerating. There's nothing like getting a couple hundred thousand people going to your website to figure out all the different things that are wrong with it. So that comes up too. Been doing a little bit of that lately. And getting into some crazy social media stuff. Donovan, do you know about the social medias?
I have heard rumor of things such as the Facebook and the Twitter.
The Facebooks and the Twitter, the Pinterests now.
Oh, whoa, that's a little Pinterest, that's a little further on than I've ventured out yet.
Man, if I'll tell you what, roll into a meeting and as long as there is either a lady in the meeting or a lady presumed to be in the audience for the people you're meeting with, just drop the word Pinterest on people and they will explode in their minds and in their pants, because that is the hot new thing.
I will see if I can research and see if this thing really even exists.
No, it's a real thing. I don't know anything. I tried to use it once. I couldn't figure it out. It doesn't make any sense to me, but yeah, that's because my chromosomes are different. You know, it's a whole thing. But no, man, I was down chatting with the social media team about something. We do a lot of work with Coors Light, and we got a social team kind of devoted to doing things with them. We kind of cooked up this idea the other day, and we were like, it's like me and copywriter and another art director here, and we're like, this is a pretty cool idea. We would probably drop this on social, and, probably take a couple weeks to sort it out and get everything ready to go. But the social team was like, they heard it and they were like, this is a pretty cool idea. We could do that Saturday. And we were like, shit. We are not used to timelines like that. So we did not do it this Saturday because we ran into a couple kinks. But got some cool things in the works there that I'm looking forward to seeing if we can get those to drop. And that's what's up with me. Donovan, I'm also making a video game. I'm just going to put that out there.
I've been following that on
can we talk about making video games?
You're still on the Twitters. It's still at Vossome, V-O-S-S-O-M-E.
Still Vossome. Look for the Autobot Hot Rod.
And I've been following from a distance. You've been creating using a game salad? Is that the right term for this?
Yeah, it's a game salad. You can get it from gamesalad.com. They have it for Windows now, but it's originally like for Mac, iOS and HTML and Android game development tool that is kind of – it's still technically in beta. There is a free version and a paid version. You can publish with the free version. You know, it's one of those things. You get more stuff.
Are you on the paid version or the beta?
Oh, hell no. I'm still rocking free until I get close to publishing and need to – because the paid one is a couple hundred dollars. It's like $300.
Oh, it's like a real software program.
It's a for real – it's a very for real program that has a lot of like really interesting logic on how you put things together, and you know, a real visual interface for assigning behaviors that are very similar to like JavaScript behaviors. So you get into stuff like if this parameter is X, then this other parameter is Y, and then spaceships shoot aliens. And it basically works like that.
But there's no actual coding
you don't have to code a damn thing. It does all that behind the scenes. So you're basically nesting menus and using drop downs and a little bit of text entry, but not very much at all. And they've got a really great community.
If they can do a full video game thing like this, how come Flash could never figure out how to get rid of ActionScript altogether?
I don't think that it was ever a priority for Flash. I think that, my biggest concern right now, and I don't want to get off on a rant, is I can't wait until Flash is so 100% dead that we don't have to make banner ads in it anymore. Because you can use HTML5 and CSS3 to make banner ads. It's just the support for it doesn't go back far enough yet. So
I use Flash less and less every couple months.
I know.
I don't remember opening the last time I opened it.
It's because it's a piece of shit. Sorry. Flash is a piece of shit. Other Adobe programs are coming along. Did you know, Donovan, you just upgraded? I want to get back to talking about making video games in a second, but I know you just upgraded your computer.
Yes.
What version of Creative Suite are you on?
We're on the 6.
You're on 6. Okay, rumor has it, maybe you can confirm this for me, that Photoshop 6 or CS 6. Do you remember Photoshop 6, Donovan? Holy shit, have we been around for a long time.
Yeah, I forgot. It's like so this is actually Photoshop 6 squared. Should I call it that?
This is Photoshop 36, and I hear tell that it has paragraph and character styles in it.
I have not used them. Ben here was using them. He said they were a little bit buggy.
Yeah.
It doesn't shock me that they were buggy on the first time they implemented them.
No. Well, actually, honestly, with as much as they implement them elsewhere, it does actually shock me a little bit. But I just feel like you should have things like that sorted out. Maybe that's just me.
I haven't personally used them yet. And I do know that Adobe, a lot of times when they decide to fix their stuff, they fix their stuff. And they do a good job of that stuff. But I'm told that right now they're at least there.
Yeah, they're in there, and that is something that helps. I do probably 60 or 75% of my design in Photoshop right now.
Can I throw it out there that maybe it's best that it was never in there before, because now we're going to have people who like, hey, I'll do that 20-page brochure in Photoshop, and think that they actually should.
There's a downside. There's definitely a downside. That would be horrible. That would be. Oh, God, that would be painful. I'm glad – that makes me glad that I don't teach anymore, so I wouldn't have to tell people not to do it and then have them say, no, but the tool's right here. You can do it.
It's so much easier. I understand it already. I don't have to learn another paragraph style.
Anyway, so speaking of Adobe programs and Photoshop 6, the interface for that game salad program, it reminds me a lot of working in Dreamweaver. So if you're kind of familiar with how making things in Dreamweaver goes and how inspecting things in Dreamweaver goes, it's not the same interface. I don't want to put that out there, but it's a similar enough way of thinking. So I basically spent the last couple months, and like you said, you've been following this on the Twitters, building the inner workings of this game in this engine, this 2D engine that is Game Salad. And then just today, because it's 4-day weekend for me, had some time off, had some spare time on my hands, started making the first actual pieces of art, which I will tell you what, man, it's just like it's every bit as challenging as designing your own logo and business cards is just doing any kind of art for a personal project. It's just like, okay, what do I want to do? Like, there's a part of me that wants to, like, throw it back traditional, like, old school Nintendo graphics. There's a part of me that wants to just, like, unleash my inner illustrator all up on this and make it just, like, just beautiful and lush and animated. You know, Joe Sperano dropped on me. He was like, dude, nobody out there right now is doing Virtual Boy style, you know, with the 3D, like, red lines that
made
you go.
There might be a reason that nobody's doing that.
Because Virtual Boy sucks.
I mean, I think didn't you go blind after, like, playing that game for, like, 10 minutes?
Yes.
Or was it 20 minutes?
No, it was, like, 10.
Well,
I was actually just...
Will Game Salad put a counter in there where every 10 minutes it says you must step away from this game for half an hour?
That is super easy to do. You could implement that, and you could even implement it where it doesn't let you play again until that half hour's up. Super easy. I could do that right now. I'm not going to because we're doing the show. But anyway. So, yeah, the first two things I made were really small, easy-to-make little things. I'm saving the big stuff like character art for later. Got a whole upgrade system in there. So I don't know. So the art style that I landed on was 8-bit. But even that has its difficulties because of the different screen sizes that it'll eventually be on. It'll be a universal app. So it'll work on, you know, your iPhone 4 and your 4S resolution, that Retina display. But then it'll also work on iPad 2 and new iPads. I know we're probably going to drop, like, mini iPads and iPad 3s pretty quick. But it'll work on those as well. So all those pixels have to scale. And they have to scale in a way that doesn't make them, like, anti-alien. You don't want your I don't want the pixels to get fuzzy. I want just, like, nasty, big as hams, sharp effing pixels on this thing. So I've been like designing everything super small, and then you have to enlarge it so many times. I would take something and then multiply the size times 400% to get it to iPad size, and then I don't know, and then it reduces, and then it drops it by half, and then you get that for iPad 2 size, and then for iPad 3 it's got enough thing. It's like, Domin, that's the other thing I'm trying to deal with a lot in my job right now. And let me ask you, as an interactive designer, are Retina displays versus regular displays just giving you fucking shit fits right now like they are me?
Well, first off, there's very – I mean, we're just doing regular web right now. So we know that you can put Retina displays graphics. We haven't actually had a client with a budget that has supported us doing that.
Well, there's so many different ways you can do it, though.
Right. We have not had the opportunity to delve into it because we're waiting for the project to come along.
Mm-hmm. You don't even want to drop a little test case in there, like double resolution logo. The easiest way to do it, and this is kind of gross, the easiest way to do it is just load a double resolution, double pixel count, like logo, and then size it with CSS or HTML down to the smaller size. That you would actually use it at.
Then aren't they downloading the full?
That's the part that sucks, is that people are downloading the bigger weight files. But honestly, for something like a logo, that might only be an issue that would really be a pain for mobile users. You certainly don't want to do that on mobile, because people are bringing your site down over like 3G, and larger images kind of still suck over that. So that's kind of the catch-22. But if you load it double size, and then if you're on a Retina display and it's interpolating those sizes to be, you know, to enlarge everything, when it enlarges that image, that the pixels will still be there. So it'll be nice and sharp and crisp.
I think more of it has to do with my clients themselves do not have Retina displays, so they have no concern for it at this point.
I know. That's a problem. I've got clients that kind of do and kind of don't, and some people who look at the project do because they're looking at it on their iPad, and then other people who are also stakeholders in the project are not, and they're looking at like busted PC laptops with like 13-inch screens, an Internet Explorer with 300 pixels of toolbar above the website. Oh, so now, I'll tell you what, man, making the Internet is hard.
Yeah, now, and I'm waiting for you to finish this video game because nothing will make me happier than beating you at your own video game.
Yeah, I don't know that I'm going to be that good at it, but it's my you know, again, my goal is to get that out in 2012. But you know, there's a lot of threat of scope creep, where I keep thinking of shit that will make the game cooler or more fun for people to continue to play. And that just makes the project take more time. That's why I'm going with the 8-bit art style too, because if I were to like really fully illustrate everything, then, you know, my time would like triple or quadruple in making it, and then it would never come out. So
gotta
just make it, and eventually, you know, it's like any project, you just gotta get it done. So hey, that's what's up with me. This is our 100th show. We're just wasting time here.
No,
so.
This is actually the hidden track at the end of the 100th show.
Oh, so shit, this is the bonus track.
Yeah, so everyone's kind of already turned
secret
off.
Bonus track.
So we'll be back, though, with, I think we got a couple specials coming up next month, and then 36 Point will be back with new Reflex Blue shows sometime next year, starting with, I guess, 101, so...
We've got, we've 36 Point family should be slightly larger, you know, by the time the shows come back. And I think that's one of the reasons for the extended break. So, you know, congratulations there.
Thank you. Yep.
Let's see. Our big question, the most important question, is will 36 Pints continue?
Yeah, we're actually gonna announce sometime this week the rest of the four that'll finish off this year.
Need to get the fall schedule out there, definitely.
Yeah, we're getting the fall schedule out there. Go to 36point.com and you know, click on the 36 Pints. So that's going. And our lunch event, the at 11:19, is ongoing as well. That's more of a by request event.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. Go hang out. Go play some Superman Arcade or maybe some Street Fighter at Donovan's office.
Correct. Both of those we see continuing in the distant near future, whatever you call it.
Nice. Good to know 36 Pints is continuing. If there is one thing that makes me wish that I was back with the old gang, it was always our intention to do that event and take it over as a social thing. And as... It didn't happen until after I was gone, but hell yes.
Yeah, we've had a good
still
time
think
the last,
that's
the last
awesome.
Few months too, so we're happy with it, and we have no plans on stopping.
All right, okay, well, congrats to us, kind of you guys mostly.
Hey,
but you know, 100 shows and shit.
Yeah,
that's pretty. Let's go light something on fire in the parking lot to celebrate.
All right, I'm gonna see if I can get a bonfire big enough out in the parking lot here for you to see it there in Kansas City. So.
Make sure that you have large plumes of smoke, and I should be able to catch it. It's
all right, it's only a few hundred miles away.
It's only a few hundred miles.
Easily be able to get something that you can see from there.
Yep, definitely. Oh, also, by the way, the Royals won over the Twins yesterday, so maybe it's a good thing that you and Tom couldn't make it this weekend. But
no, if from what I understand to those Twins fans out there, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I know I'm not. If you watch the Twins, you're used to seeing them lose.
Oh,
currently.
Well, so, that's funny.
It may not make you happy, but it's not like it's you know.
I feel the same way. I feel the same way about the Royals. This is, in fact, the first time all season where I went to a game where they won. So that was pretty rad.
Yeah. So there you go. I mean, if you want to root for a winning team, you root for Yankees. But who wants to do that? I mean, really?
Yeah.
You don't want to do that. Don't do that to yourself.
Nobody wants that.
No. All right, thank you, Nate. We'll be back next year.
Yeah, thanks to everybody for continuing to listen to the show and all of that. And Donovan, awesome job. Tell Ben, double awesome job. And, yeah, I look forward to hearing the show again when it ramps back up.